Good evening out there, fight fans. CombatTalk.fm. My name is Leister. I'm your host. We got a stacked weekend of boxing, but before I get into that, I did commit that I would start talking just briefly about the world of pro wrestling or sports entertainment, depending on who you ask. And I'm recording Friday because I don't feel good, so I wanted to get it out of the way and make sure I get the episode up. And of course, we are simulcast on YouTube, so if you prefer YouTube to listen to the show, you can listen to it on YouTube or on our various podcast platforms found at CombatTalk.fm. Wrestling, pro wrestling. I said on the previous episode, I do recommend you check out The Rock and all the great stuff that he's doing, especially if you were a fan from the distant past, and I've never been more right because they did an angle. It was a blood angle. He beat the crap out of Cody Rhodes. Back by Cody's bus, it was an amazing segment. Really, it was throwback. It was worse than Attitude Era. So I do recommend checking that out. Promos were good all the way around. They're just good stuff. You know, it still has the direct, but WWE's doing some good stuff, so I do recommend checking that out. If you do get a chance and you were a fight, wrestling fan from back in the day, it's better than what might have turned you off, is my point. They still don't have the sex back, like I think they need, but they've got all the other stuff, and it's no longer a focus on just the wrestling moves. Let's go ahead and talk boxing. I covered some of these fights already from the last episode, so I'm not going to go back through those. I'm only going to cover ones where I know for a fact I didn't talk about it. This is on Prime, Amazon Prime pay-per-view. It's the debut for PBC on Amazon Prime pay-per-view. As a result, I will not be watching it because I will not justify that. But they are good fights. And again, there's a lot this weekend. This one's worth watching if you want to do the Prime pay-per-view. 12 rounds at super lightweight action. Rolly Romero fighting Isaac Cruz. Of course, vast majority of people feel that Isaac Cruz is going to knock out Rolly Romero. That's a distinct possibility. Isaac Cruz is a tenacious, he's come forward, he's a pit bull. And I would say that Rolly is a skilled fighter, but, you know, with Barroso, things were exposed and we don't know exactly where his head's at. So I'm leaning more towards Cruz, but I'm hoping Rolly wins. And you might be wondering why. I'm sick of Cruz. You know, I'm sick of after the performance he did against Tank. Tank was injured and Cruz did some stuff, but that was really more about, you know, Tank not being 100% than anything else. And I don't want to see Cruz in the main event again. I don't want to see Rolly fight Tank again. But since Rolly's the champion, I'd rather see him in some quality fights. And I just don't see this as a quality fight. So it is what it is, though. Undercard of that same event, 12 rounds at flyweight action. Julio Cesar Martinez fighting Angelino Cordova. Really good fight. Love both guys. Think the world of both guys. Quality fight on the numbers, matched really well, surprisingly well, on the books. People think it's a 50-50. I would agree with that. It's a really good even match fight. If you're going to watch some fights, this one's definitely one to check out. Undercard of that same event, 12 rounds at super welterweight action. Brian Mendoza fighting Sergey Boychuk. Again, really solid fight, matched well on the books. Quality, Mendoza's coming off a loss most recently, and he's got the 3 losses, but other than that, it's a really good matched fight. Most people believe Mendoza gets the W. I think that's possible, but it depends on where his head's at. His head might be not be all in the game. And Boychuk has enough skill. He's coming off a three-fight knockout streak. So who knows? I'm leaning Boychuk in this one just slightly. It depends on where Mendoza's head is at after that loss, I think. But good fight for what it is. I'm going to quick switch over to DAZN. Now, this is happening tomorrow as I record this. 12 rounds of cruiserweight action. Arsen Gulamiran fighting Zerto Ramirez. Of course, Zerto Ramirez had that one loss. He went up to Bivol, tested himself, failed the test. So this is his get-back fight. Gulamiran is the A-side on this. This is on Inglewood if you want to go local. And I think it's a good get-back fight for Ramirez. I don't think Gulamiran is going to have anything for Ramirez. I think Ramirez is a decent fighter. He's not a great fighter. I think Gulamiran is a good fighter, not a great fighter. So it's good in the sense of skill comparison, but I don't think that Gulamiran has enough for Zerto. I think Zerto gets him out of there. That's my call there. Undercard of that same event, 10 rounds at welterweight action. Alexis Rocha makes his return, fighting Frederick Lawson. I think this is a mismatch in my personal opinion. I understand it's hard to get fights for Alexis Rocha after his streak. He got knocked out in his most recent fight. He's on a rebuild. This is a good opponent to rebuild against because I don't think Lawson's going to have anything for Rocha. I think Rocha's going to win this in stunning fashion. That's my call. Then the fight everybody's talking about happening tomorrow was initially going to be a different fight. Now has switched 12 rounds of super welterweight action. This is back on Prime Pay-Per-View, Amazon Prime Pay-Per-View, or Triller if you're in the UK. Initially, it was going to be Tim Tszyu fighting Keith Once Upon a Time Thurman. Thurman got injured, pulled out. They called in Sebastian Fundora, who was about to fight on the undercard, fighting somebody else, and he got called up. And most people think, and this is now a unification fight, which I think is a joke, because Fundora's coming off a knockout loss. Regardless, most people think that Fundora has a chance. I mean, everybody has a chance. I think Tim Tszyu washes Fundora. And the problem is Fundora's eyes. I think his eyes are jacked up. So he always wants to fight in close. He doesn't use his natural abilities, his natural skills, to the maximum. So Tim Tszyu, it plays into his bread and butter, which is fighting inside. That's what I see. I see Tim Tszyu washes him. I think it's easier to me. It feels like this would be an easier fight than what Keith would have brought. Because if nothing else, Keith was tenacious. Keith would keep coming. Keith's never been knocked out. Keith's never been stopped. It's like, I felt like Tim Tszyu would really have been tested with the experience of Keith Thurman. And I don't think this is as much of a test because of what happened from Mendoza against Fundora. That's my personal opinion on it. Most online agree with me on that call. Undercard of that same event on Amazon Prime, pay-per-view, 12 rounds at middleweight action. Arislandi Lara finally gets back in the fucking ring, and he's fighting Michael Zarafa, who's most known for getting knocked out by Jeff Horn. He's, to be fair, he's coming off of a three-fight knockout streak, so I'm not dissing the guy, and he gets flack for being a stripper, and that's what it is. But it's actually a decent match fight. Although Lara's way older, he has stepped it up. You know, he has become more of a dangerous fighter in older age because he was boring as all hell early, getting draws like crazy. And he's a southpaw, and he's skilled as all hell. So I think this is going to be a test for Zarafa. I think Lara wins it. Zarafa should win it. I think Lara wins it. I think Lara has way more experience than Zarafa. I think Zarafa's been on the decline ever since what happened to him from Jeff Horn. Even though he got the wins, those were not high-quality wins. And Lara just has a bevy of experience over, even though the number of fights is the same. You got to look at the people that Lara fought. Lara has fought a who's who in that ring, and I think it's made him more well-rounded to where he's going to get his hand raised, is my call. Now we're going to switch to Peacock in the O2 Arena out in London. Peacock in the U.S., Sky Sports in the U.K., and I hate these damn streaming platforms. Anyway, 12 rounds at heavyweight action. Fabio Wardley fighting Frazier Clark. Really good heavyweight fight, if you like the heavyweights. Matched decently well, not greatly well, both undefeated. I don't think it's going to last very long. I think it ends in a knockout for one of the guys. They're both knockout artists. They go for knockouts, so I think a knockout is on deck for this one. If you want to check that one out, I do recommend it. One of the regional titles is on the line. And then undercard of that same event, 12 rounds at welterweight action. Florian Marku first fighting Chris Congo. Really good fight for what it is. They're matched numerically evenly, although I don't think that Congo, he's been having some rough time recently, so I don't think he's going to have much to offer on this fight. But I think it's matched well on the numbers, you know, on the books. It just seems like if you look at it, these guys look like they should pair very well and put on a decent, good match for however long it lasts. Undercard of that same event, 10 rounds of heavyweight action, Alan Babic fighting Steve Robinson. A decent fight, not a great fight. Again, if you like heavyweights, it's worth watching for that alone. Undercard of that same event, 8 rounds at light heavyweight action. Ben Whitaker fighting Leon Willings. It's numerically a good match, just like the other one. Numerically a good match. I still think skill-wise, you know, Willings is nowhere in Whitaker's class. Ben Whitaker is levels above this dude. It's a mismatch in skill, even though it's numerically equivalent. Undercard of that same event, 8 rounds at cruiserweight action. Vidal Riley fighting Mikhail Lawal. Again, it's a numerically matched well fight, but I think it's a mismatch in skill level. And I say that just Riley seems like he's levels above Lawal. Lawal has skill, but he makes silly mistakes at times. And he's only lost the one time. But if you look at his performances, he leaves himself open, which that bothers me about the dude. He's decent. I just think levels will play into the factor. That's what we got on deck for fighting. So I probably, again, will not be checking these because I'm not doing the streaming business, but I will check in after the fights. And then the other thing to keep in mind with the whole situation, so Terrence Crawford allegedly has lobbied for the WBO at 154 to become the mandatory for whoever ends up the WBO champion, that being the winner of Tim Tszyu versus Sebastian Fundora. Meanwhile, Errol Spence has claimed he's going to be at the fight and wants the winner. So both guys say they want the winner of Timzu and Fandora. They don't want to fight each other. Hopefully this allays the concerns from NSB that Terrence Crawford, what he told you, he was contractually obligated to fight Errol Spence, and that was going to happen, and that was the reason he wasn't going to fight Boots. That's the reason. So now it's official that he ducked Boots Ennis because he could have fought Boots Ennis. He didn't fight Boots Ennis, and instead he's not going to rematch Spence, which means he's going to be sitting out inactive for a year now at this rate because I don't have any announcement of a fight being signed. So that's where we're at. You know, Keith Thurman's injured. Terrence Crawford's going after 154. That's fine, but he's still holding the belts hostage and is going to be ducking Boots Ennis and is not going to be rematching Spence, and Spence is not going to rematch Crawford. So 147 is now in flux and in disarray thanks to what happened with Errol Spence not showing up on the night. Tune in and we'll see what happens with the next generation of fighters to come.